about this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
I want them to use like wireless energy, do like Tron like stuff, and have them like glowing.
But what do you want? You want them wearing like laser tag outfits?
Why does everything have to be so retro?
It's better.
It's still not good.
And welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of 3 in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is Kenny filling in for the meat beater who is on assignment somewhere else. Who knows where? But anyways, in the studio next to me is Aaron.
Hey.
And across from me is Jive.
Hey.
So, yeah, gentlemen, it's been an interesting week in hockey.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy words.
Thank you.
We're waiting for that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got a lot to go over. You know, we got, what, 4 wild games, a pair of gopher games, both men and women.
Yeah, the icebreaker tournament.
Icebreaker, ice cliff, ice... ice
Cliff
storm,
diver, something.
Cool mint breeze.
Yeah.
Mentos.
The fresh nectar.
I'm pretty sure it's the icebreaker tournament that the Gophers played. Mercyhurst and
UNH and Cornell or some other team in there.
A lot
there.
Of big name schools in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Gophers' MO. I mean, they tend to play teams that are worth, you know.
No.
Although, I will say, I think a New Hampshire is actually ranked.
Yeah, they were 12, so it's not without merit. And I think the Gophers, the Gopher girls, they played the Badgers.
Yeah, they played Wisconsin this weekend.
So, but. You know, it's not terrible matchups. I mean, it could be better, but it's still early in the season, you know.
Yep.
Roddy.
Hockey is definitely in full swing, though, here in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, no absolutely. So, and actually, the weather's coming up on it, too. It's getting a little chill outside.
It's starting to get a little nipply out.
So. Yeah, I think,
anyways, I
think somebody said something about snow. Next week, possibly.
I heard something about sleet and snow come Sunday.
And this wouldn't be a Minnesotan podcast if we didn't mention the weather.
Well, it won't be a hockey podcast in Minnesota if we didn't talk about sleet and snow.
But now let's talk about ice. Let's kick into the wild.
So, the Wild happened to get their first win of the season against the Winnipeg Jets. Home game, they won 2-1. Harding came in for Backstrom, started for Backstrom.
Because Backstrom got knocked out of the last game. And that's when Harding got brought in Cole for the shootout. And he failed. Predictably, I mean, that's a tough situation to come in cold, but now, I mean, with a full game, you know, starting from the start, has a stellar game, you know, gives him a single goal.
They just kind of dominated Winnipeg, though. I mean, you know, they outshot them 30-15.
Yeah, I mean, Harding gave up just one goal, but he only had 15 shots on him, so. You know, you take what you can get. If it's still a single goal against,
that's a good.
That leaves your team in it at least.
That's
you know,
right.
I'm still under the thought though that the defense tend to, I don't know if they like Harding better or like his style of play better, where he tends to go out and challenge a little bit more, and he's not in the net nearly as much. But I do notice that the defense tend to jump into the net a lot more when Harding's in goal than when Backstrom is. But Backstrom does tend to play back quite a bit farther.
That said, let me ask you guys this. So, you've got Backstrom, you've got Harding. And I'm going to ask you two questions about both of them. Who's the most likely to make the flashy save?
Harding,
but only because he goes on the nets with such frequency. He plays out of position, whereas Backstrom isn't going to play out of position. So it's harder to make a flashy save when you're playing in your position.
You know,
when if you're parked in the crease, odds are you're not going to make a crazy save.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Backstrom parks himself. He parks himself right in the crease. He doesn't move.
He is always in position.
Look at Thomas or Brodeur though.
Thomas is a great example of he's guy out there flopping around.
But you know what? He's also out there challenging, and he's constantly moving.
And that's one thing that you know, you got to say about Harding is he gets out there. Sometimes I think he's gotten better this year. He scares me less. I don't know if it's Stockholm syndrome where I'm just getting used to it and.
We're all your friends.
You know, I don't know if I'm just getting used to it, but at you know, to a certain degree, I do think he's known when to take those risks and when they're acceptable. Because it used to be where he'd go out there and it's like, there's only one guy out there and he's not on your team and he's on your heels. What are you doing playing the puck behind the net?
Well, who was it for Phoenix last year that would go out and literally almost skate the puck around?
LaBarbera? Or Mike Smith.
Mike Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, he was literally skating with the puck behind the net.
Yeah.
And all the time. Harding isn't quite that bad, but the one thing I like about Harding is he will come out and challenge a goal or a shot on goal.
Yep.
And not worry about it and cut off the angle, whereas Backstrom will sit back in the net and let the puck come to him.
And I think a good... analogy is just look at the way that they handled the shootout.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, obviously we know Backstrom's MO is he stinks in the shootout. Harding isn't great by any means, but he's not Backstrom terrible.
Harding will at least go out and try to cut off the angle and challenge the skater.
And that'll bring me to the second question I had you between a Backstrom and a Harding is, who do you feel more comfortable in net with? Like if we go into the game and we're starting Backstrom or we're starting Harding, who do you have that comfort level with that, like, yeah, he can just get it done?
I think the tougher question is, who do you feel better with long term?
True.
Because that really is the million-dollar question, because I think we got Backstrom for, what, another 3 years because of the extension we signed?
Yeah, something like that.
And Harding, I think, has got another
year.
But then he
might actually be a RFA after this season.
But we also know about Harding's health issues, and
which will provide some challenges. So.
It's going to – I mean, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. You know, and it sucks because you don't want to say that, but it's true. I mean – There will come a day where he cannot physically perform to the level that he or anyone else expects him to perform at.
Yep. It's a reality that has to be
okay,
faced.
So,
but then at the same point, Backstrom is the oldest Wild player. He's now the old guy. And I will argue
the
that
OG.
I will argue that he was never really that great to begin with. But and I think... he's becoming less mobile as he ages, and I think it's showing.
Yeah.
So, Jive, I'm going to take your question and raise you 0.5. Rather than specifying who would I rather take, Harding or Backstrom, I'm going to say, what style of play would you rather have as for a goalie? Would you rather have a goalie that's going to sit in the net and let the puck come to him, or would you rather have a goalie that is going to go out and challenge and play the puck?
I'm going to take the goalie that goes out and challenges and tries to take the puck. And simply said, because, you know, set to a certain point, I mean, there you can be reckless about it, but if you can do it in a fashion that you're using the instincts that you have, your natural instincts to that, you just kind of know, you have kind of that intuition how it's going to happen or what's going to happen. I think that's a huge part of goaltending, you know.
But I think I think really, you know, we're all talking about this, but really the elephant in the room is can Harding or Backstrom, can they win a cup? Is that, I mean, you look at cup winning teams, what do they have in common? They've got a goalie that can win games.
Or somebody who gets hot.
You know
hot.
What they do? But, yeah. But the one
or
thing...
So, yeah, someone who gets hot.
Yeah.
like Quick a few years back, you know?
Or Crawford, for that matter, with Chicago.
Yeah.
The one thing with Harding, though, that I will say is even him coming out of the net, the D are willing to step in and jump into the net when he comes out of the net. And I don't think Backstrom has that comfort level, or Backstrom has pissed off the players enough that they just don't care for him. I'm going to go with option A, where just Backstrom's not letting the D do the D job completely, or not trusting them enough to do their job or completely.
Maybe it's just exposing that he is immobile and he can't really get to those pucks. So the D can only do so much. And at a certain point, the goalie has to stop those pucks.
Well, and I mean, when you're sitting back in that crease, I mean, you're actually opening up a lot more territory for a puck to go into from a shooter's perspective, because you come out and you challenge that angle, and you are a bigger block.
Okay, so bottom line, if you're Mike Yeo, who is your number one goalie?
I'm going to go with Harding right now.
Jive?
I would actually take Harding as my number one goalie, yes.
And I unfortunately have to agree, because all you have to do is look at the first three games versus the most recent three games.
The
and,
sad part is those...
Or four games, and it's pretty obvious who's been the better goalie. I mean, period.
We'll talk about this later. I don't think I want Kemper as my backup right now.
He's still young. But, you know, speaking of the other games in the week, the Wild also played the Stars on Saturday. The win, a blowout win, 5-1. Justin Fontaine, he scores his first NHL goal. Scores it 12 seconds into the game. We also have some other firsts. Dumba also scores his first NHL goal. And El Nino Niederreiter, he scores his first goal with the Wild.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
It was Nino's first goal since December 2nd of 2011. So
wow,
first NHL goal. I should clarify that, because he did spend, I think, all of last season in the American League.
Well, what else is awesome for Fontaine is that he also set a Wild franchise record of scoring the fastest goal in a game, beating out Heatley from 2 years ago.
Yeah, it would have been
2012.
February 9th, 2012, 13 seconds into the game.
They're going to have to start saving the milliseconds for these so we can, properly spread out these.
Because we cannot have a tie.
No, we can't
do that.
That is not acceptable. But overall, against a team that we haven't been in the same division with, everyone in Minnesota views as
loves to hate.
We view them as a rival, even though I don't know that anyone in Dallas views Minnesota as a rival.
No,
I think it's one of those one-sided rivalries.
It's because we're bitter.
It's because we're bitter. But I don't think it's not unlike our Vancouver quote unquote rivalry. Wild fans hate Vancouver. Vancouver fans, they really don't care about the Wild. And I've even heard this, similar thoughts about, like Packer fans and the Vikings, where they care more about the Bears than they do about the Vikings. And I think it's just being dismissive and just trying to be snotty, because, seriously, who else is going to be Dallas' rival?
Honestly, we're Minnesota. Who really hates us because we don't win?
It's because we're nice, dude. Minnesota nice.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, because you can be a Jets fan and come to a Wild game, and who's going to heckle you? Who's going to give you a hard time? No one.
Nobody. I almost did it to fans the following night at the bar that I was working at.
Still, it's not the same.
Almost. You were still Minnesota nice.
I was thinking about telling them off. And if I only had one more beer, I would have told them my mind.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was working. So,
as if two wins in the week was not enough, why don't we add a third win? On Monday night, the Wild played against the Sabres, and they won once again, 2-1. Jason Pomerville making his return to Buffalo.
Yeah. A big return. I mean, obviously, there was no East versus West last year, so you know, there was Pominville was never going to play there last season, so you know, any trades from East to West actually made sense because you weren't going to get any of this weird bad blood, you know, end of the season kind of thing.
Right.
One thing that was kind of interesting though is that the Sabres chose not to do any like, hey, thanks for the great years, you know, or any
sort of, he kind of got snubbed.
There's no tribute. I mean, he played over 500 games for the Sabres. At a certain point, he was their captain. He was their captain. It's not like he went left via free agency. He was traded away.
Even with
why would you not respect that? I don't get that personally.
Even with playoff games, you're talking over five seasons worth of games.
Buffalo playoff games.
Okay, that's minus playoff games. 82 games a season, 584
that's
games.
That's a good set.
At least seven seasons.
And he's drafted in 2001, so he's been with that or attached to that organization in one way or another for a long time.
You know what? Sorry, but shame on you, Buffalo.
You know, at what point, do you dissent, Jive?
I don't know. Maybe not quite an exact comparison, but you know, if I were to go back to an old employer of mine to hang out for a while, maybe do some work for some other company still, I'm not expecting them to throw a party for me.
Okay,
but you would like to at least them to acknowledge your time spent with you that you spent with them, would you not?
I could agree with that.
You would be shocked if they just. Pretending like you
pretending
never worked.
Like you didn't exist.
Hell,
didn't know
you have an enforcer from Minnesota with Derek Boogaard, where you got Matt Cook coming in going, asking his parents for permission to take number 24, and Boogaard has not played with Minnesota for, what, two seasons previous to his death?
Well, it's been several years.
Well, it's been several years now, but yeah. At least two seasons before he died.
Right.
That he did not wear 24 in Minnesota.
Right.
But you still got a guy asking his parents permission. Can I take your son's number? In Pominville played. We're talking about an enforcer. We're not talking about an all-star player. We're talking about a guy who just. Literally beat the crap out of people. Didn't score a goal in 3 years here.
But even so, I don't know necessarily where you're going with that, but even when Boogaard returned here, he got a champions, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So did Gabrick.
I think Gabrick did. I think even Rolston did, if I remember correctly. I mean, it just seems weird not to acknowledge.
Once again, you're talking about that Minnesota Knights just rolling home.
Maybe that's just it. But
we just roll differently.
But, I mean, do you think when Iginla returns to Calgary, they're not going to have video or at least a mention about his time in Calgary?
Or what's going to happen when Clutterbuck comes back with Islanders?
Well, you know they're going to do something, right?
Rangers, Islanders.
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 You know they're going to do something.
Let's look back to, what was that, a couple years ago when Mike Modano came back here to
exactly.
Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, that was...
That was a pretty small celebration, wasn't it?
And he never played for the Wild.
Right.
No, but he played
for
Minnesota.
But he never played for the Wild.
That
never
is true, and he's still got a big, big...
Oh, yeah.
...ovation.
Yeah.
So, it seems... Well, I'm not asking for... Hey, cheer for the other team, because obviously they were struggling even to cheer for their own team in this game. Because there's several times where they were booing a lot because, you know, the Sabres just were playing terribly.
They came into the game without a win, and they left without a win.
They
right.
had power plays that the Wild had more chances than they did.
Right. So
I mean, it was horrible.
I'm not saying they need to do anything great, but just acknowledge that he played for your team. That's all I really need to do, you know?
Yeah.
But so, back to the game.
Without beating a dead horse.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, it was a fairly low-scoring game anyways. Brodziak got us started off early with a goal, but...
And Pominville.
I guess the real story at the end of the game is Pominville.
Pominville got the game winner.
He gets the game winner, a power play goal.
Yep.
So he kind of, I guess, kind of laughs in their face, at least for.
Hey, you want to acknowledge that I played for your team? Well, my new team's gonna win, and yeah, that sucks for you.
And one other big point with that final goal there is that now Jason Pommaville has scored against all 30 NHL teams.
Wow.
And hopefully he can score against, all the others in a Wild jersey. You know, just last night, the Wild played the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs, one of those weird words that it's not a plural, but it's a plural. Still irritates the hell out of me.
Leafs.
But they lose. They lose bad. Kemper starts in the net after, the Wild rattle off three wins with Harding in the net. Kemper starts, gives up three goals on seven shots. He just looks lost. He gives up dribblers. Some of them he got beat, but when you only given up seven shots,
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
And it's really a shame because the Wild totally outshot the Leafs. 37-14.
A shot, a save. We can breathe again. That's hockey. That's our game.
I didn't catch all of the game, but from what I saw, it seemed like the Wild were pretty much just dominating about 80% of that game.
They spent most of their time in the offensive zone, or at the very least, the neutral zone. They really did dominate the game, but...
I did catch part of Yo's press conference, and he said, for a score of 4-1, for losing 4-1, you would not know it by looking at the numbers right now.
Oh, no doubt. And I think the Wild only gave up 14 shots, which tied their least amount of shots given up on the road. And I think they tied it with two other games, both those other two games. Were also losses. So I think it's
so
and actually their record was 13 at home, which was also a loss. So basically the moral of the story is if you're the Wild, give up some extra shots, because I don't know if they're just the goalies are getting cold or what it is.
Keep the goalies in practice.
But they're losing when they keep those shots down for some reason.
That's too bad, too, because, the little bit of the game that I saw, they were absolutely dominating. Like, it hurts to lose a game that bad when you were playing that well of hockey. I don't know. Thoughts, opinions?
No disagreements. I will add that Danny Heatley looked particularly bad. He was slow. He's just basically out of position for a good part of the game. He hasn't been very good this entire season. It's gotten to the point where Yo is openly saying, I'm going to go over a video with Heatley to discuss his play. But because he's Danny effing Heatley, the all-star, what are you going to do with him? He's getting paid, $6-7 million. You're not going to put him on the fourth line.
Nope, you better play.
Yeah. Yep. And who's going to trade for him? No one. So we're
bench him.
Yeah, you can bench him, but you're still paying all that money.
Not dress him.
It's his injury really screwed the Wild, because he would have been the perfect amnesty buyout, and that just not happened.
I know. He's your new Tom Gilbert.
At least for the day.
For the week. I've been listening to it.
And speaking of the week, we got some games coming up this next week.
You want me to take that away?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. The Wild are going to be at the Tampa Bay Lightning. And to finish out their Florida sweep, they're also going to be stopping in and playing the Panthers there.
Getting a little Tim Thomas action, if he's back. I think he's hurt right now, but if he's back and he's healthy. See.
And then they'll finish out before the next time we reconvene next with what we're going to label as our game of the week.
That'd
against
be...
the Nashville Predators.
And it'll be another meeting of Suter and his former team So that should be interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. And the final game of the week, before we reconvene next, is going to be the Wild at the Predators, which we have also chosen as our game of the week.
Yeah, and well, if you look at what our game of the week last week was, we chose the Wild versus Dallas. I believe we determined, all of us determined that the Wild would win, aside from Josh. He said Dallas would win. So he's obviously out of there running.
Wah, wah.
And we made a simple tiebreaker of overall points gets the win. I had 4-2. Actual score was 5-1. So I'll get the win for this week, meaning I get to choose the game of the week. But I actually kind of deferred to Kenny on this one, and I went with the Wild versus Predator as the game of the week. And I'm going to be the lone dissenter for the game of the week on this one, saying that the Wild actually lose the Predators 2-3. My thought being is that Backstrom is going to probably be back at that point, and I don't have any faith in Backstrom, so I'm chalking it up as a loss, much to my chagrin. Thoughts, guys? What are your predictions?
I'm just going to have to go ahead and say that, yeah, I predict that the Wild, it'll be a tight matchup, but I think that the Wild do prevail here. I hear your concern in that Backstrom may be back, and, you know, it is unfortunate that it's a concern, but I think that offensively we'll be able to produce here at home.
And I'm going to go with Harding and net, and I feel a little bit more confident with him, considering how the current lineup is setting. You know, Harding will probably be playing against Tampa Bay, Kemper against Florida, and then Harding back against Nashville. I'm going to go with 4-2. Wild winning.
I think you're wrong. I think Backstrom's going to be back by then. Kemper's not going to play a single game.
Wishful thinking.
And Josh, what are you going to choose?
I know.
I choose a Wild winning 3-2.
Is that Josh or Mr. Bill?
That's Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hanky.
Hidey ho! Hidey ho!
Hidey ho! Wild win!
Maybe we should have just played pinball tonight.
So, I think that wraps with the Wild. About time for some Gopher talk.
Yeah, the Gophers lose several important players.
Do you want me to take that, dude?
A few of them that we'll note is Nate Bjugstad, Eric Halla.
Halla.
And Mr. Zachary Budish.
What the hell?
What?
That was all you. Holla.
I'm not going to jump on your holla.
Holla.
Holla, holla, dollar bill, y'all.
Yeah.
They do have 7 new freshmen, though, coming in this year.
Yeah, including 2012 Mr. Hockey Minnesota, Justin Kloos, who actually scored a goal the other night, as well as 2013 USHL MVP Taylor Camarata, who I believe also had a goal. Basically, that... And a great segue is that on Saturday night or Friday night, Gophers beat Mercyhurst in the Icebreaker Challenge.
Icebreaker Tournament?
Icebreaker Tournament.
Yeah. Gophers kind of ran away with that. They beat Mercyhurst 6-0. Went on to then play University of New Hampshire and beat them 3-2. New Hampshire, I believe, was the only other team ranked in that.
Yep, they were ranked 12th. A lot of freshmen scoring goals, getting their first collegiate goals. And it's actually great for the Gophers to come out scoring, getting two wins. To start the season, this early season. Yeah, we'll take it.
So, speaking of Gophers, Gophers women's are now currently 55 wins in a row, if you want to include beating Japan and British Columbia earlier this year. They beat Wisconsin 2-1 and 2-0 this past weekend. And other than the fact that my girl, Nora Rada, is not involved anymore, I'm a little bummed.
So I think As far as upcoming Gopher games, I know this upcoming weekend, the Gophers men are playing Bemidji.
Beavers!
Playing some Beaver Time hockey. And, yeah.
You know, the one thing that the Gophers men's do have coming up is most of November, they're at home and playing good rivals, too. And I think other than Wisconsin... it's all Big Ten, since that's what they're involved in now.
Yep, and then...
Or not Big Ten. So Minnesota State, UMD, and then Wisconsin are three of the four weekends, including Notre Dame the first weekend in November. So it's a good schedule for the Gophers.
Yep, and then this upcoming weekend, the Gopher women's are playing UMD, so...
So we got some good Minnesota good, rivalries coming up with the Gophers.
Intrastate games.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
So I think we've about talked our hockey minds out. Kenny, do you want to say anything?
You can catch us at 3inTheBox on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at 3inTheBox. Just search for us. And, yeah, Aaron?
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can check out the three of us playing in a band, pinrot.com, and you can also just look at us on Facebook. We're out there doing something or other. Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at Jive Midnight, and yeah, I have no association with these guys, so I don't know.
I don't blame you.
Where's that gunshot sample? Thank you. Good night.
What a hole in the-